page 296, Mizmor Lamed Dalid, Vav Zayin Ches. Okay, the big mystery is why is there a missing? What's that sound? What's that? Testing. I have no idea what happened. No idea.
You
plugged
it out?
I didn't touch it. I have no idea. No clue. Okay, Pasuk Vav's above. Big mystery was why are we missing the letter Vav? Okay, let's see over here. We did over here the Rashi, and we did the Mamar Chazal. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak. Some interesting things over Radak. Pasuk Vav and Zayin Ki Bitu Elav. Ovar b'mokoyim osid. We actually mentioned this yesterday, the Machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudos. Is this a command or is this the past tense? So ovar b'mokoyim osid, they both really, it's one and the same, basically. V'chomohu rabim. Omar kol b'nei adam shem b'tzada yabitu elav v'nohoru elav. Command.
Hibitu is ovar, what's the question?
Hibitu.
It doesn't say habitu.
Otherwise, it would be
Habi. Habi be the future. Okay. Okay.
No, or
Tzibur.
No.
Yabitu. Yabitu. Yab the Yud. Yabitu. Yabitu is they will look. Yabitu the they will gaze. Hibitu is saying is they in the past they have gazed. They have gazed, but really it's a command. It's a command. They should. They should gaze. Okay, I'm not sure. Let's go further. Ovar, the word hibitu, according to the Radak, it's Lashon Ovar. Hibitu, they have gazed. But the pasuk really means an instruction for the future, or it's a testimony, what will be in the future. Ovar, the actual translation literally is the past, but bimkoim or sid, but it really means to say what you should do in the future or what will happen in the future. That is a style of writing, especially when it comes to prophecy. We should not forget that Tehillim is a prophecy. It's not just a record. V'chomohu rabim, there are many such examples, period. Omar, kol b'nei adam shehem batzara, he's giving a command. Yabitu a love, they should, with the yud, as Rav Kalman said. Yabitu a love, the yinhadu a love, they shall look. They shall put their reliance upon Hashem, v'yinharu elav. And what does that mean? Then they shall be enlightened, or they shall. Let's see what he says.
Rush like nahar.
A river. They shall rush. Okay, so he's saying a different translation then. Let's see. Oh, very good. So he's saying. He's saying not what we learned in the Mitzudas. We learned in the Mitzudas that the Machlokes between Rashi and Radak. As to the word, the Rashi, the Mitzudas on one side, and the Radak on the other, is the word Vinoharu, is it in Lashon of or, enlightenment, or does it mean to rush, like a river? A river moves very quickly. Omar kol b'nei adam shehem batzar yabitu elav v'yinharu elav, they shall rush to Hashem. V'noharu k'mo v'noharu k'alotuv Hashem, Shinyonai ha-halicha b'mirutza. Kimoy ha-nahar, river moves very quickly. K'mo sh'yirutza adam ha-lamidol oiz lihi sogev bo. When a person is in danger, he immediately goes to safety, to a fortress. Yabitu el Hashem, they look to Hashem, v'yirutza olav v'lo yevosh b'vit chaynam. Do not rely upon your own strength. Rather, you shall run and rely upon Hashem. Zehu ufnehem al yechparu leivosh ki yirusha zehani karav Hashem shemea yechpar inim boishes kmo v'charpo halvan v'shachama v'yemar pnehem l'fisha boishes yiru eb uponim kmo sh'amar v'lo ato uponav yechavaru. My face should not be put to shame v'yesh v'farshim v'haru inyan oira. Okay, so basically, so there's just a more quickly over here. So basically, there is that he's giving you a command that when a person is in trouble, he shall rely upon Hashem, and if you rely upon Hashem, you will not be put to shame. If you rely upon yourself, koichi v'yitzim yadi, you rely upon man, then there's a very high likelihood that the person will be put to shame. But when you rely upon Hashem, you'll never be put to shame. V'yesh mifarshim noharu inyan oira. Like we learned in the Mitzvah Stavon in Rashi, means light, kumo, the al tofa, olav nahara, do not shine upon him light. Right, so Sagi Yidah means light, light. He beat with love, Hatzlichim, Ezrasa, Vinar Panechem, and your faces will become to life. Kiloimar, Sheyivashu, you will be saved. And when a person has salvation, his face lights up. Ze'oni alatzmeyam akamar shi'i perashim. Okay, Chodim alatzav al-yof. Next to this, what do we take away from this Radak? We take away in this Mizmo, we say on Shabbos, Vinoharu has one of two perushim. Either it means to rush quickly, like a river, the metaphor of a river moves very quickly. So too, when we rely upon come to Hashem, we have to go very quickly, swiftly shall we flee to Hashem for salvation. The other interpretation is to become enlightened. When you look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He provides salvation, and that salvation gives a person a he'oras panim. What's the word in English? Countenance. Am I saying that correctly?
Countenance.
You can look at a person's panim. It says everything. A person's panim says everything. A person's facial expression says it all. Pasuches. Choyne malach Hashem saviv kishehoivim. Choyne sivim lohara lochem malach Hashem saviv. Choyne sivivam. Ve'emram koyach logas bochem bayichal tseim. Okay, so when a person is in trouble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he dispatches his angels and they protect him. And Vayichal Tzeim, so we had this nice discussion yesterday in the Mamori Chazal. What is the precise meaning of Vayichal Tzeim? Either it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he releases a person from his troubles, or we wanted to say in the Hava Amina, that the word Vayichal Tzeim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides strength. V'tam Malach, Kimaymer Daniel, Eloki Shalach Malachei, Hashem sent an angel, Usagar, and it closed, pum, the mouth, Aryavasa, of the lions. The lions were unable to cause any harm to Daniel when Daniel was thrown into the Goiv, Choarayos. He was thrown into the den of lions. Okay, so this is the same with Daniel. This is called the Chayim Amar. This is okay, whatever. This is a pasuk. Okay, the Chayim Amar Umalach Panav Hashiyam Malach Agoel Lusim Mikora. Okay, just saying the word Malach is a general description of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saving a person. Let's see what it says in the Chayim Sanach. The Chayim is the Chida. He beat away love in the heart. Look at Hashem. Efsha B'Mashu Dorash Moron Zal. Who is the Moron Zal? Who is this who you're referring to? The Magid Meshadim. That refers to the Beis Yosef. Okay, the Beis Yosef is called the Moron, the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef. And what does he say in the Sefer Magid Meshadim, which means, you know, the Beis Yosef, when he went to sleep, a Malach. The Magad, he wrote a Sefer, all of the things that he learned from the Malach. When he went to sleep, a Malach came and taught him Torah. Revelations from Shemama. So recently someone put out a Sefer, he was Malakit, certainly he used Oitza HaChachma. All of the Chidushim that Talmidei Chachamim put in writing in their Sfarim, that they claim they were Machadish when they were dreaming. People have plenty of time on their hands to go be Malakit. Malakit, you find what it says in all the various Sfarim. Yeah, I used the computer. It's a chokhma. When someone wrote, you know, now I had a dream last night, and in my dream I was machadesh pshat in this pasuk, pshat in the Gemara, pshat in the Rambam. When did I come up with this idea? In a dream. So someone took it upon himself to collect all of these incidents where Talmidei Chachamim of reputation that we respect had wrote in their Sefarim that this idea came to them when they were sleeping. Does that mean they actually had a revelation from the other world? Or does it mean that, you know, when they're sleeping, you know, some people, if this is what means a lot to you, if this is what you really enjoy, then when you sleep, you think about it also and you come up with Chidushim. So here we have a whole Sefer for the Magid Meshadim, the Beis Yosef, when he went to sleep, a Malach from Shemayim came to him in his dreams and taught him Torah, and he wrote down everything that was taught to him by the Malach. The Gra, it's well known that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer, the only one here by the name of Leo Kramer, the Gra. The Gra said, the Malach used to be a Malach that would come to the Gra when the Gra went to sleep. The Gra did not sleep all that much. The record, where we have a record, is he only slept for 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day, but he went to sleep. A Malach came to him and wanted to reveal to him Sisrei Torah. And the Gra said to the Malach, leave, lech. I don't want to learn Torah from a Malach. I want to learn Torah myself. I want to achieve Amelus v'Torah. A very different approach to learning Torah from the Gra versus the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef accepted the learning from the Malach and the Beis Yosef, and the Gra did not. So they say that there were other things. I don't remember, the Gra said this, is that, maybe it could be the Gra said this, is that in our day and age, in his day and age, it's not a good idea to learn from a Malach, because when you learn from a Malach, there's a price to pay. And that is, when the Malach comes to teach you, other Malachim also come. And they teach you apikorsis. And it's Zelu Mazeh. If you're going to merit a revelation from the Koichos of Tahara, of purity, there's going to be a very big nisoyon of encountering knowledge or ideas from sources of contamination. So the base, I think the Gra says that the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, the Gra was after the Mechaber, much after. The Mechaber were living in a generation where the purity of the people in Tzfas was so great, they were able to easily dismiss the collateral damage, the potential collateral damage or nisoyon that comes with the Malach coming. Whereas in our generation, when he lived, if I'm going to start doing this, others are going to start doing this, and it's very dangerous because there's a price to pay. When you have these type of revelations, it comes in packaging that's not all that good. And you have to be on an exalted level of spirituality to be able to be mavchin, to be mavdil, bein kodesh l'chol. So in this idea that I read somewhere, I don't know where I saw this, it puts a whole different spin on this famous concept that the Gra did not want to learn from the Malach. Torah Labai. So they say, they'll tell you in Yeshiva Katana, they'll teach you this idea that there's the Gra and there is the Beis Yosef, the Maran. The Beis Yosef, he wrote a Sefer, Magid Meshar. The Magid refers to the Malach. The Malach, what he taught him in his dreams. And the Gra sent away the Malach. And I'm going to explain to you, because the Gra was from the Balei Musar, and the Balei Musar want to earn it. They don't want to take government programs. They're not interested in signing up for, entitlements and government programs. They want to earn their keep.
Can't they learn much better, much faster if they have the Malach helping?
No, they don't care. It's not a matter of how much you know. It's a matter of how you know it. If easy come, easy gain. People who work very, very hard, they're very stingy. Because all of the money that they earned, they work, they sweat to earn every penny. They're not giving it away so fast. A person that gets a Yerusha, money just comes into his hands. He doesn't work for the money, he just gives it away. He doesn't appreciate it. He just spends
value.
It on, he doesn't value the money. You see this by people who work very, very hard. They're very, very stingy. This is a reality. And people who are just unusually successful, and usually they have a business, and the business just takes off, and money just comes in like a fire hydrant, and they don't even work for it. They don't, and just somehow it's a gift. Hashem just somehow sends them money. You see that they spend money like a drunken sailor. They go on these vacations, and they spend crazy amounts of money on total nonsense, and then wake up the next day, and all the money's gone. They don't feel the responsibility because they did not. No pain, no gain. And it's the same thing when it comes to learning. When the Malach, when a person learns Torah, he learns it with sweat and blood. That learning is very, very valuable. It stays with them. Learning that comes to a person easily, without heavy, then it doesn't work. I know two people who are Balei Kriya. They told me one person is a genius. He's a genius, and he looks over the parasha the night before he learns it. He looks it over, and very quickly, within an hour, he knows the whole parasha perfectly, and he learns it the next day without making even one mistake. Another person, he has to spend the whole week. He has to spend 10 to 20 hours learning the parasha. So what's the difference? Difference is, next year, the person who spent 10, 20 hours learning the parasha, the next year, he knows it. He knows it in his sleep. The person who looked it over for a few minutes the night before, when it comes the next year, he doesn't know anything. He has to go and learn it all over again. Okay, so he's a genius, so he can learn it over again in an hour, half an hour. But it doesn't stick. You can't wake him up in the middle of the night and just ask him a pasuk like that. Because he's such a genius, he was not omel, the yogeya, to etch his knowledge in his brain, so it's that much more difficult. It's not there. Same thing. The Gra, they'll tell you in yeshiva, the reason why the Gra did not want to learn with the Magid Meisham is with exactly what of Mordechai Binstock said, is because no pain, no gain. The Gra, yeah, very good. You'll go and I'll download all the knowledge into my brain from the Malach, but there was no Amelus. And Torah without Amelus is not worth anything. That's the Pashup Shot. This idea is a very different idea. The Gra was very willing to download all of the information, and the Gra would work on it. However, the Gra was sending a message to people that don't. It also fits very much in line with the Gra's opposition, his milchama with the Hasidim. And the Gra is that when you start doing things that are supernatural, there's a very great danger. Because once you start dealing with the supernatural of Kedusha, it comes with the price of allowing, exposing yourself to the supernatural of Tumah, of the Koyches HaTumah, which can take a person into a very, very bad place. And it could very well be that this was very much the reason why the Gra, there's this reputation, this legend that we have, that the Gra was very against people learning Torah, you know, going to sleep and learning, going up to Shemayim and learning with Malachim, because this was something that was very much in line with the Mahalich of the Hasidim. The Talmidei Bashat, what?
You see what happened with Achim?
That's the Pardes, okay. But there was a very big Mulchama in the lifetime of the Gra with the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. And the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, it was a movement that swept up Poland. Poland was thoroughly... Poland, Ukraine also, correct. But Poland was swept up in a very short period of time. Very, very quickly, within 100 years, not even. The whole Poland was swept up and became the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. And a lot of that type of stuff dealing with you know, Kabbalistic things of supernatural koichos of talking to Malachim and dealing with these things. And the Gra was loichen of Melchemes Hashem not to go down this path, not to be a chosid, to be a misnaget. He felt it would lead to terrible disaster. And very much in line with this rejection of the Mahalik of Hasidim, it's well known from the Gra. The Gra refused to learn with Malachim. These are legends. I mean, we don't have these problems. I don't know anyone that has these problems.
Another way of saying what you said is,
there are no shortcuts. Oh, so no, that's what I'm trying to say. That's there are no shortcuts. That is what they teach you in elementary school. You have to work hard, but this other explanation I'm trying to present is no. There are shortcuts. At times there are shortcuts. If you can take a shortcut, take a shortcut. But the Gra was warning people that if you don't know what you're doing, when you take a shortcut, you can end up in a bad neighborhood. So if you know what you're doing, this approach to this issue, it's not so bad to take a shortcut. Why? You have to always go the long way. What's so terrible taking a shortcut? If someone wants to give you one to go in the HOV lane, what, you can't go in the HOV lane? You can't go if I have three people in my car. Or let's say I'm pregnant. That's already two people, right? Follow the news?
Depends what state you're
in. So let's say I have three people in the car. I'm not going to go in the HOV lane. I don't want to take a shortcut. I want to sit in gridlock traffic. Ridiculous. If you have three people in the car, you're entitled to go in the HOV lane. So go, you'll get home a half an hour earlier. The GRUH was all for it. But the GRUH says there's collateral damage. The collateral damage is when you go in the HOV lane, you know, you come in contact with some weirdos. You come in contact with Koichai Satoma. And if you don't know how to deal with the Koichai Satoma, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. And it was Mamish being Loichem and Lochemes Hashem against Hasidim, the Talmidei of the Baal Shem Tov, who... What the Hasidim of that time are not the Hasidim of our generation.
Were they called Hasidim
at that time? They were called Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. That's what they were called. And there's a whole network. You need. I need a map. I need a map. You need a map to understand all the different Talmidim. Each sect. Okay, when someone died, there was always a split. There was always a split, a break off, and each sect had its own unique flavor. And today, I mean today it's all big. We live in a big conglomerate today. Every Litvak today is a chassid, and every chassid. So today it's really impossible for us to appreciate the origins of Hasidus. It's impossible. It's impossible. Mamish impossible. Who the Baal Shem? The Baal Shem, by the way, didn't wear a strimal. The Baal Shem Tov was like a beggar. The Baal Shem Tov had none of the flavor of how Hasidim live today. Zero. It says Talmidim that began to
religion. It only was a copy of the nobles in Russia too, not just Polish. If you look at old Polish
spread, that was later.
Russian nobles too. It's very obvious they were wearing strimals.
Okay, they wore, women wore strimals. It was a hat, we're in the winter. A strimal was nothing special. Even women wore strimals. Or fur hat, that's all it was, a fur hat. Today it became a religion. It became to wear a strimal, to wear everything. But it was a different world, and it's not possible to understand, it's not possible to relate to it, but the hashkafa of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov was a completely different world of what we think, if we think it is. And the Vilna Gaon saw and was very, very disturbed. And he fought. And many say that he achieved very great results because he saved them from themselves. His opposition tempered and balanced them to where they should be. And in fact, likewise, today all the Litvaks, all Hasidim, okay, show me even the coldest misnagdim are all Litvaks today. They all became all Hasidim. They all have embraced all of the, you know, all of the flavor. But originally this was a very big separation between the two. Hasidim were mystical people. They were into the malachim, into communicating with what goes on in Shemayim, into the secrets of the world. Very holy people. The Rebbes were very, at least the Rebbes were very holy people. And that's why the Talmidim, they relied upon the Rebbes. And the Vilna Gaon, he opposed this. Why? Not because it's a shortcut. It's because it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. It's not for the faint of heart. A person is not a licensed electrician. You don't touch the wires. You don't know what you're doing. You don't touch the wires. You go down to the basement, you have a circuit board, and there's a lot of stuff over there. If you don't know what you're doing, don't touch it. You can get electrocuted in 1 second. You don't patch it. You gotta know what you're doing. The Rebbes knew what they were doing. They knew how to operate. They knew which wires to touch, what not to touch. They knew how to operate these things. But the masses, you're gonna let the mass start patching around with the circuit board? They'll kill themselves. There'll be suicide. So the Gra said, don't go down this path. It's not, it's too dangerous. So he himself demonstrated that by not allowing, when Malachim came to him, this is the legend. I'm saying things over here, we have no concept. Mark, I don't know, you have these problems? Malachim come to you in the middle of the night alone with you?
All the time.
Mayor has these issues all the time. But he rejected the Malachim as a statement.
I always hear that.
Don't go. But the Chaimus Anoch now, we're on a tangent, presents us a chiddush from the Maron, from the Magid Meishan, from the Beis Yosef, with the Malach Tonim. The Mash Abo Adam Li Olam Azed Hainu De Hagam Da Hanisham Chaysa Nenes Miziv Ashkina Ach Man De Ochel De Lav Dilei Bohel Li Istakalu Bi Ape. Okay, a person comes down into this world, a person, the Neshama, that's Nenem Miziv Ashkina, but ach man de ochel de laf delay, a person who eats what does not belong to him, bohel le istakule ba'ape, is afraid to look at the shechina. Kemosha amu biyushalmi bivricho de arla, there was a plant of an arla uvevo'o ba'olam hazeh hu misagel mitzvois u'masim tovim. Okay, let's go further. I'm not sure what this means. V'yesh lo yisocha v'yochel lachazois b'noim Hashem. V'omar lo hamagid yishar, correct. U'le'el omar yish v'lov v'yismok gal Hashemiti v'hashto kamar. Let's read a little further. Habitu elov v'noha ki ha'novim kol mayonam b'Hashem v'soylim b'einehem bo v'noharu ki yushpa aleihem ha'olyon u'pneim al yechpadu l'asid. Elo Yecholim lihistakel b'ziv hashchina. Why? The oichlim min haTorah v'hamitzvos shesiglu v'lo mibaya b'hitz b'tzamdam yachad elafilu echamim. Now, okay, this is all Kabbalistic concepts. And I think what he's saying over here is, as follows. He's saying over here is that a person who sustains himself from theft, is not gonna merit to be mistakel from the ziv hashchina. Pasuk vav begins, he bitu eila v'noharu. Look at Hashem, look at the ziv hashchina. La'asid lava, when a person leaves this world, his neshama goes to Shemayim, then there will be opportunities to look at the shchina, which obviously represents a sublime experience. Who will merit? The one that will merit will be the ze oni kara. The one that will merit will be the Oni. Why? Because the Oni, in this context, did not steal. He earned his keep. If you go back to the top of the page, top of this paragraph, fourth line, ach, man de ochel de lav delay, a person who eats from what is not his own, bohel is terrified, le istakule bi'ape, cannot look at the ziv hashchina. If, like this, they say this about we talk about this many times, about taking tzedakah. You have a yeshiva, and you're an administrator, and the job of the administrator is 99.999% fundraising. And how are you going to make the budget? So you have to make a couple of telephone calls. And you know good and well that one of the donors that will give you money, he earns his money from Gezel. Okay, where does the money come from? This donor, I need to pay the Rebbeim. Where am I gonna get the money from? Well, we have a guy here, he's a movie star. And he's an actor. And he does all these dirty films. And he brings entertainment. So if I call him up, he'll give me $1 million. Because we went to yeshiva together. He's my buddy. Knew he went off the derech and started doing things that are not so kosher v'yashar. But you know, he's a nice guy. And he'll give me the money. So this is very, so if I was an administrator, I wouldn't blink. I would take the money in a second. I wouldn't be able to be other than the Nisayan.
Lubavitch doesn't take the money. Have him put on film.
All right, whatever it is. Lubavitch takes the money, trust me. They take the money. Believe me, they take the money with no heartbeat. And so does everyone today. Why? Because you have no choice. But the truth is, the Balei Musar say, You know something? Yes. Do you really expect that money that has been derived from unholy sources is going to be successful in teaching to children? Do you really expect it to work? Well, today, unfortunately, we do. We do expect it to work, and that's the way the world goes around. But on a higher, sublime level, it doesn't work. The Chazal said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Bezalel, when they built the Mishkan, people brought donations. It says, V'choshvei machashavos. I think it's even Rashi. Rashi Chazal, they said, what does it mean that Bezalel and Aholiyav and Moshe, what do they do? Besides the fact that they were master craftsmen, they were fundraisers. Bezalel, the 13-year-old boy, he was a master fundraiser. And when he would go and he would ask, you know, we need some gold. We need a lot of gold in the Beis HaMikdash. And he would go around making a collection. He would knock on people's doors. Would you like to donate to the project of building a Mishkan? And someone would say, yes, of course. Here is a bar of gold. Bezalel had the talent of looking at that person, listening to him, understanding him, and determining the sincerity, his sincerity, and how much he really wants to give a donation. And where did he get the money from? And he would make a note, this bar of silver was given by this person, and I see he doesn't really want to give him silver. He's put to shame. He was just put to shame because since his next door neighbor is giving and this one is giving, no, for social correctness, okay, to be politically correct, you got to give money to the museum, Metropolitan Museum of Art, for some type of presentation, display of ancient Egyptian pottery that no one in the world could care less about. But you give $1 million. Because if I'm not going to give you $1 million, then you're not going to come to my Hanukkah party and celebrate with me and take pictures that I can post on Facebook. Look who came to my party. Bill Gates came to my party. Elon Musk came to my party. So if Elon Musk wants me to give $1 million for an exhibit on some ancient pottery in some country you never heard of, from 3,000 years ago, no, I'll give you the $1 million because I scratch your back, you'll scratch my back. So Bezalel saw that the money that's been given is not given with sincerity, and therefore, you know what, this bar of gold I'm going to put on the side, and we're not going to use this for the Arayin HaKodesh. We're not. But a person that's a tzaddik, he was able to see and he gave the money sincerely, oh, that goal will go for. So if I'm not going to go over this again, because I'm not sure what you're saying over here. What we hear you seem to say over here is that when a person ultimately leaves this world, he comes to Shemayim, and I don't know what goes on there, but obviously there are a lot of activities, like a day camp. Sleepaway camp. It's a sleepaway camp in Gan Eden, and they have different activities, they have different trips and activities and entertainment. And based upon the person's behavior in this world is what he'll merit. And if you want to see the Ziv Hashchina, he be to Eilav in Ohar. Look and be enlightened. Ufneim al, and you will not be embarrassed. You will not be embarrassed to look at the Ziv Hashchina. Really? Do you deserve to look at the Ziv? How did you get here? How did you survive this world? So it says the one that will not be embarrassed will be the person that did not steal. Will be the person that he had an nisoyon in life, and he could have been a very rich man, but the wealth would have been acquired through activity that's not 100% correct. And he chose, you know what? I'll be a poor man. I mean, not everyone is like that. Of course, people have Hashem gives people up to be very rich. Of course, halavai, halavai, halavai. It's the worst thing to be poor. The worst, the nisoyonness of poverty, of being poor, is the worst. But there are challenges. Ze'oni kara, the person that will merit will be the ze'oni. I think he's saying something to that effect. I can't tell you that I'm saying it 100% correct, but I think that is what he is saying. All right, let's go now to the next. Yeah?
The rabbi, who is now the rabbi, that he was assisting then in Rabbi Yudin Shul, no longer Rabbi Yudin Shul, but one of the writers and actors from Saturday Night Live was saying Kaddish. He came to that shul without. But after a few months, he came to Rabbi Markowitz and offered him, he was making a movie, and offered him a part in the movie where he needed a rabbi, and he would give him a lot of money to do it. And he said, thank you very much, but if I took the offer, I would probably lose my job, he said. So he turned him down. He was a boss fighter.
Who's the rabbi?
Rabbi Markowitz.
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. I never, heard.
Said, no, thank you.
I once saw a journal. I once saw a journal from a very big yeshiva, and there was an ad. You know what the ad said? HBO. I was so turned off. Obviously, a very big executive of HBO, someone who works for HBO. Okay, you know what HBO is? I'm sure everyone knows what HBO is. So they gave a lot of money. And they gave a lot of money, they put an ad, and they put their logo. They put their logo in the Yeshiva Journal. So, you know, it turned me off a little bit.
Right.
If I was the administrator of the Yeshiva, I would take the money in a second, because I know how hard it is to raise a few dollars to pay the bills. Okay, we're not talking about putting gold on the walls. We're talking about just paying the Rebbeim basic salary.
The Yeshiva is one Yeshiva. Who got a donation from
Barbara Streisand?
I'm not going to mention his name. Rosh Yeshiva's brother, who is a very highfalutin lawyer, who makes a lot of money.
I know what you're talking about.
And he won a lot of money in a big case, and the money was used for the gym. We call it the gym that XYZ built, which was the name of the black guy who shot the gun in that war. And he won millions of dollars on that.
So what's wrong with that? He's a lawyer. What's wrong?
No, so they specifically took the money and used it for the gym.
But what's wrong with that money? That's good money.
Because it was money made from a
he's a lawyer.
Guy who killed somebody.
All right, but he's legal fees.
He defends everybody.
Okay, legal fees.
It's
not so bad. It's a lot worse. Look, there's someone in Russia. There's someone in Eretz Yisrael who's a billionaire, he's in the news a lot. And where is all his money from? His money is from really not good stuff. Okay, I don't want to go tell you where the money is from. And he gives a lot of money, a lot of tzedakah, and everyone takes it. And all the money comes from an industry that is connected kol ha-Torah kulo. And you know,
industry?
Figure it out.
A lot of it, why are you ashamed of saying it? Marcus Katz was one of the world's biggest arms dealers.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And you have a building of Bubba's name for him, you have a building of...
So arms, what, arms, who says arms is such a terrible thing? Weapons, what's wrong with weapons? I mean,
he wasn't that until the during World War II, he was a gun runner. So
what?
He was what they call a gun runner. He sold, black market weapons.
Okay, I hear.
I was at a very big affair where they honored him because he gave all that money. And somebody stood up and yelled, "That gun runner!"
Okay, this is a very big. This
the guy
is,
who
this
had
is,
money. The guy stood up.
This is an old sugya. It's a very big nisayon, and when people are desperate, that's how it goes. Technically speaking, it's mutter. 99.9%. Technically speaking, it's mutter. The question is it proper? Is it ethical? Is it ethical? Is it batamt?
In 1948, one of the major donators for the Israeli army was Frank Sinatra.
So what's so bad about him?
Nothing
wrong with him.
He just felt bad.
What's so bad?
The Godfather was
Barbara, everyone, the famous story with Barbara Streisand, right? So she went to Yeshiva Brooklyn, and she came back to give Rabbi Mendel a very big donation. He didn't want to take it. No, today they would say, what's so bad? Today that same story would repeat itself today. I it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't take it today. What's so bad?
They would take sure on flat recognition.
What?
They would take it but not give the recognition.
They'll give recognition also.
And some organizations, yes. I'm surprised that he just said, okay, I'll give it, but I can't put a plaque on. I can't announce it by the dinner.
He said that? We didn't take it all together.
I don't know.
Right, he said he's not taking it all together. I don't think he took it all together.
That's the way the story came out.
Okay? This is a very important concept. Over here, he reads into the pasuk, "He beat you love in the heart of Fremal Yech Paru." Look what he says from the Zohar. He says over here, the four lines from the top, there's something to remember over here. Ach, good morning. Ach, man de ochel, A person eats the lav delay. A person who eats from gezel bohel listakule biape. He's afraid. In the next world, his neshama that has been sustained by gezel is not going to be able to look at the shechina. Okay, it affects the neshama. When the neshama is sustained from gezel, it just has a bad effect. In the spiritual world. All right, let's go to another. Let's now go move it to the next psukim. Let's move ahead. Okay, pasuk tes. Tamud utov ke. Still, I've never answered that question. That's a mystery question. Maybe somehow we'll come up with an answer of why the vav is missing. We're going to the pasuk tes. We're up now to pasuk tes. Pasuk tes says tamud taste u ki toiv. Taste and see ki toiv. Hashem is good. Ashrei hagever yeches yabo, praiseworthy. The word ashrei is a very hard word to translate. We say this every day, 3 times a day. Ashrei yoshvei veisecha. What does it mean, ashrei? Ashrei means worthy of praise, happy. What else does it mean? Ashrei, someone fortunate. Worthy of praise, happy. There are many different translations of the word ashrei. It's not an easy word to translate, it depends on the context. But here it says, tamu taste. Uru and see, ki toif, two different sensations, the two different senses, the sense of taste and the sense of sight, and see ki toif, Hashem is good, ashrei hagever, praiseworthy, fortunate is the gever. It doesn't say the ish, it doesn't say the odam, it says the word from gever. There are many words to define man, odam, ish, and odam hagever. Yechesebu, that Yechese that seeks refuge. Yechese is the future tense, who will seek refuge in Bo in Hashem. And that's where we further Yiru es Hashem ki doisha. This is an instruction, a command. Fear Hashem, those who are His holy ones. Ki because ein machzar li reyov, there is nothing lacking. The people, those who fear Hashem, will be lacking nothing. Kifirim Rashu V'Revu. Now we're making a contrast. Lions. Okay, a kafir is a lion. Rashu V'Revu. They're hungry. Rashu is a word which means a rush. Rush Limbo. May he rest in peace. Was one of the richest men in America. And the irony is, his name is poor. Isn't that? I always sound to be very ironic. Rush Limbo is dead. Right? Rush Limbo, he was phenomenally wealthy. Cannot believe how rich this man was. From his radio, from his, he was a mouth, a machutzef. What would he say today, Michal, about what's going on in America? He would have a heyday. What to talk about? Rush and his so he was, and yet his name in Hebrew means poor, destitute. The kefirim are roshu, they're destitute. They're everyone, they're starving. And the kefirim, they're mighty creatures. They're mighty. They can rip apart a human being. The yet v'dorshei Hashem, those that seek out Hashem, lo yachzru, are not lacking chol toiv, any good thing. L'chu vanim shimuli, come or go, children, listen to me. Yiras Hashem alametchem, I will teach you yiras shamayim. Then we have the famous part. We'll leave until that. That will be next. But this is the chavos chaim lechem. That will do that. How much?
$600 million.
That's
not even 1 mega million
lottery. That's not. But you understand that when I say rich, he did not own. You understand what I say when you say that he broke the rules of wealth, because the people that are wealthy are people that, let's say, own real estate, people that own companies. He didn't own a company that makes electronic cars. He didn't own Apple. He did not own an industry. He was a worker. He was a worker, an entertainer. This is unprecedented for a person who basically is a professional, who just does something and doesn't own a commodity, should be so wealthy. Elon Musk, he owns a company. They sell electric cars. You have Bill Gates, Microsoft. You have people who own real estate. You have, so okay, this is such a chiddush that they're built trillionaires. But a person who is just a professional, a person who does a service and doesn't own anything, to be so phenomenally wealthy, unprecedented. Unprecedented. Oh, let's go weiter. No, he owns oil, he owns assets. They have assets. Let's go weiter. Let's go weiter. Tamu, Rabbi, please, please. Rabbi, please, please, please. Adkar. So over here we have these psukim. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudot Stavit test to Yud Beis. In the Mitzudot Stavit. Tamu. Ken Yikore Yidias Asechel Buchinasak Mot to Amoki Toif Sachara. Rabbi, please. Tamu. Tama here means, it means knowledge, taste. It's a borrowed term. We had this before. We had this before. Where do we have this? A few psukim ago.
We don't know where you are.
I'm on page 298. Page 298.
You're not on
Mitzudas. I'm reading.
That's the problem.
I said Mitzudas Sion, okay? I said the Mitzudas. So page 299 is the Mitzudas. Okay, Tamu Uru Ki Toiv Hashem. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion on page 299. The word Tamu is a borrowed term to taste. What are you tasting? Food? No, it is a borrowed term which means knowledge. It means that when a person understands something, it's as if he had pleasure. Palate was stimulated. Kein Yikore Yidias HaSeichel. When the knowledge, when the seichel has an epiphany, when there's some type of awareness, uvichinosoi, and it's concept, it's bechina, which means it's a concept. K'may toama ki toiv sachra, know and take pleasure in this is by Eish Chayil. Ki toiv sachra, the Torah is Torah is the best of sachra, right?
Comprehend.
Okay, this is an expression you have this ever so often. Next words of the there's no the mitzvah, like we said before, is very scant on the in Tillim. Kita, okay, and let's go further in the Kifirim, Ritzon Lemar, Gidolim Va'ashirim. The mitzvah David understands the word the Kifirim is a metaphor. So I said for lions. No, it's a metaphor for rich people. People that are phenomenally wealthy. You pass by and you see some of these, yeah? Oh, right, that's what I was referring to. Right. The David, when we start, B'Shanoi says Tamo, so there the word Tamo means a seichel. He feigned insanity. Tamo is a person's intellect, or a person's, everything has a unique flavor. You go to a restaurant, no two piece slice of pizza taste the same. You ever go, which pizza do you like the best, Mark? Which pizza store do you like the best?
There are many.
Benny's?
Benny's,
you like Benny's? You like Pizza Time?
Here is good.
You're a Bucky on all the pizza stores?
Right.
Yeah, you're like Bucky. So which one is the best?
Aaron.
The best.
Aaron.
On Avenue J. That's not kosher. That's not kosher. I'm known. Okay, they're all different types of pizza stores. Every single pizza tastes different. Every person, Kishen. Okay, Kishen. The same way there are no two people in this world who look alike, there are no two people who think alike. And the thought process of every single person is called his tam. When you'll talk politics, with any person, you get a very, very different take on the same information. Everyone has a different take on it. That's the way life is. That's a person's tam. David HaMelech had a certain approach to life. David HaMelech, when he came in contact with Achish, the king of the Plishtim, he went and he bishanoisoi es tamo. He feigned insanity. He was mishane. He fooled Achish. This cannot be David. So here it says tamu uru ki toiv. A person should imbibe from the knowledge of Torah or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will take delight in informing his relationship, his unique relationship and understanding, which will be totally unique in coming in contact with Hashem. So you see the word Tamo appears in this Mizmah twice. Fine. Now we come to Chifir. This is very shocking what it says over here. You see over here, these, well, they have this nice new word that's floating around, the oligarchs. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
The oligarchs. You never used to hear that word used until the Russians invaded Ukraine. There are some very rich people out there in this world who own yachts. They own yachts. I never knew. That's the way you have, the way you show that you're rich in this world is not, it's not the vacations, it's not the real estate. It's if you don't have a yacht, you're a nobody. You're a nobody. You have to have a ship. A ship. Mark, you gonna invite us to see your ship? If you don't have a ship, you're a nobody. So it says over here. It says over here, the Kithirim, you look at these rich people and you see their wealth, and guess what it says over here? These people have nothing. The mamish have nothing. Check into their lives. What kind of lives do they have? They have nothing. And you go look at a person in Koilo, and he has everything. He has a swimming pool. A person in Koilel, a simple Jew who has values Torah and Yirah Shemayim, he has everything. Money in the bank, that he doesn't have. But yet he has a life. What? Not too many. You'd be surprised that the people that are rich and famous are few and far in between, and everything is just 99% of society is very, very poor. Very, very poor. There are few people that make them, they make believe they're rich and they ruin it for everyone. But the reality is most people have nothing. And yet they have everything. Why do they have everything? Because if you have a life, you have a wife, you have children, if you're a Shemayim, Amen. Thank you. By your grandchildren, by all of your everyone over here. Everyone, a person has a life of Torah and you're a Shemayim, you have everything. And the oligarchs, they have nothing. The kithirim, these Rashi learned, we're not dealing with lions. It is a metaphor. Here, Mark, I can't compete. Everybody side, please. I'm very arrogant, and I can't take competition. That's the reality. I can't compete. I have to be in charge. No, divrei chachamim benachas nishmoim. Okay, you don't have to. If you have to go and scream above the noise, it's horrible. It's like you go to a wedding. It used to be when you go to a wedding, you don't go deaf. Okay, so then it became that by the dancing, they turn up the volume, you go deaf. But it used to still be that when you go to the chuppah, it was the music was quiet. Now we're living in a nayadar. Even by the chuppah, they crank up the volume. You know why? Because everyone talks. No one wants to behave and behave themselves. Mechas and Kala march down. So what's the solution? Crank up the volume. So the music that they play when the Mechas and Kala goes down will overshadow all of the talking that's going on in the people. It's terrible. So because people don't want to be quiet, so you just have to make the noise louder. That doesn't solve the problem. It makes the problem even worse. So cracking up the volume is not the solution. Is we have to have a degree of decorum. Kifidim rashu v'ra'evu v'dersh Hashem lo yashu v'otov. This is a very powerful, we say this in benching, this is a very, very powerful concept, is that people that you think have everything, they really have nothing. They really have nothing. Don't be impressed by walking down the street and seeing these beautiful palaces. You know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know the nisyonos people have, the problems people have. A soul who is the Darshi Hashem, lo yachsru chol l'toiv. Okay, so that's the very important mitzvah where he says what kifidim refers to, people that are very wealthy, the Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, tamu ruki toiv, ta'amu divoroi. Taste the word of Hashem. What does it mean, the word divoroi? Comprehend. Look at the sif says zikenim on the right side. Tamu divaroi bepshidus yesh lefarish the return of loymar divaroi shel hakadosh baruch hu. A person should imbibe, should taste the words of Torah, the haima Torah. Tamu oisar, taste it. V'sinu ki toif, that's the pshuta shel mikra. Go to a shir, people. They go to a shir. They become you know, it's transformative. Person goes to a shul that he enjoys. Inami, yesh lefarish, the mefarish ha'peiru shol tamu, haynu dabru b'toira. Tamu does not mean to, it doesn't mean to the word of Hashem. Rather it means, it's an instruction. Tamu means to speak. You see, I'm saying a whole new pshat. Yeah, that tamu means it's an expression of dibur. Until now, we have been translating the word tamu means to taste. And taste is a metaphor for the concept of comprehend. It's not what he's saying now, not comprehend. It is an instruction that all of your conversation with your fellow man should be about Torah. You see someone in the street, so what do you say? What's the weather going to be like today? What's the forecast? What's new in politics? Is Trump going to run for president or not? Is there going to be another scandal or not? What's doing in Israel? No, don't talk about that. Talk, what's this week's parasha? Parashas Matos Maseh. You have a good vart on the parasha? You have an ethical mumusur? Tamu, speak. It doesn't mean comprehend. It's a verb. I mean, comprehend is also a verb, but tamu means don't be on the receiving end. It be active. According to what we've learned until now, tamu means I'm going to a shiur and I'm listening. I'm listening to the Maggid shiur. He's explaining the Dvar Hashem. He's telling me I'm listening, I'm comprehending, and I'm enjoying it. No, that's not enough. You be the Maggid shiur. You should engage in dibur. You should see someone in the street and go over to them and tell them of art. You shall speak. It is an expression of how does the word taste? Taste, so he's explaining, no, even though the word, we think it means to taste, which would then be being passive, being on the receiving end, it's not always the way it's used. The word is used elsewhere in Mishle. That's how he touches the word Mishle, is Gabi Toamo Kitoi Vesachar. There he explains it to mean, we have to go look up the positive there, but it means relate. Torah means relate to other people. Be a promoter of Torah. Be a promoter. Go out on a speaking tour and promote the study of Torah. Toamo relate Kitoi Vesachar. My grandfather, that's what he did when he came to America, my grandfather. My father's father, when he came to America, he worked for Rav Aaron Kotler, Lakewood Yeshiva. He was the executive director. So I always wondered, what did he do? There were only 14 students in Lakewood Yeshiva when he worked for Lakewood Yeshiva. Well, how much time does it take to collect 14 tuitions, to make 14 telephone calls to the parents? I'm not giving you one penny. What did he do? So I found that not so long ago what my grandfather did for that time that he worked. Rav Aaron Kotler sent him all over America to give speeches, to promote Lakewood, to speak, public speaking, to go from shul, to go Shabbos, to stay in the shul. You see over here, they have, every so often they have these big signs, and they have, you know, people come from different neighborhoods to promote, you know, speaking engagements in order to promote what they're promoting. He went to shul, and they give a clap on the table, I'm collecting today for this organization, that we have all these things, and we need this. And they put out the tzedlach they put out tzedlach on the paper. That's what my grandfather basically did. Okay, it's not a very honorable job in today's world. But he went throughout the country, and I guess they, I'm sure, a more dignified way to speak in shuls on Shabbos to tell them, do you know that in America we now have a yeshiva called Beis Medrash Gavoa? Well, you know what they do there the whole day? Torah Lishma. Just learn, nothing else, pure Torah learning. You should be aware there's such a thing. And if you have a child, you should consider sending him there. Or, I mean, obviously you just don't go, you didn't go from kindergarten to Beis Medrash, to promote the awareness that in America there's such a thing as a institute of higher learning of Torah Lishma. That's what it means, Toamu Ki Toi Sachra. Promote, speak about it. That it's merchandise. The merchandise of the Torah is good. Sefer Mishlei is all about Torah. It's all about Torah. and it represents the promotion. So that's how he ties up the Talmud with Ruki Tov. Same idea. And that's, so we have a machlokes over here, the Sif says, can two perushim, what it means over here, the word tamu. Either it means beyond the receiving end, to listen, comprehend, flavor, or it means the word tamu is related to the word dibur, to speak. To speak, one more time, inami yesh lefarish, the befarish perush shal tamu, hainu dabiru batoira. Speak in the words of Torah. Don't waste your words on politics and other nonsense. Unless you're like Rabbi Michal Miller, who knows what to say,
and
who knows what to say to bring about results, not just like me, who's from the peanut gallery and doesn't do anything of importance, and just nonsense commentary. But you have to, you know, hishtadlan. It's very, very valuable. But when a person has the kaycha, whatever you do with dibur, don't waste it on nonsense. You should use it for good things. Next, pasuk yud Rashi yiru. This is the very big debate. We always discuss the very big debate of how to bring about Bali Teshuvah, the Teshuvah movement. How do you return Jews to their roots? There are millions of Jews all over the world that know nothing about Yadus. And it's a miracle that you could even trace that they're Jewish, because unfortunately, as every day goes by, we're losing the ability to even trace lineage, that a person is even Jewish. But there are still millions of people out there that if you ask them, are you Jewish, they'll tell you no. And you'll ask them, is your mother Jewish? And say, yes, my mother's Jewish. Did you know that if your mother is Jewish, that means that you are Jewish? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, guess what? You're Jewish. Now try to get them to come back to Yiddishkeit. What do you do? So there are many techniques. So birthright. Some there are many groups who hold that the way to get them to come back to Yiddishkeit is to bring them to Eretz. They should spend time. They should spend time in Eretz Yisrael. The sanctity of the land is sacred. It will just somehow will draw them. And one thing will lead to another, will become observant. Some people say the best thing to do is they should engage in debate. You teach them about politics. I don't know. They're all different techniques, and
an intellectual approach.
But in the Haredi world, there is a technique which is magic. And it defies any logic that if you take a person who literally is anti-religious, and you say to him, come into my house, or I'll go to your house, and let's learn a Daf Gemara in Bava Kama. We're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk about Lapid and Netanyahu and Bennett. We're not going to talk about Trump. There's only one thing we're going to talk about. We're going to learn Bava Kama. Hashar shenoga chesapar, an axe that gores a pregnant cow. Okay, a topic that has nothing to do with anything. And it's magic. It's magic. You go through a session, you tell them, I want a half an hour with you, and then the most anti-religious person, and then you say to him, should I come back next week? And he says, yeah, come back next week. Let's learn another few lines of Gemara. Come back next week. Before you turn around, this guy is sitting in Kol Chazonish, learning full time. Can you explain that? How do you go from a person who is the most anti-religious person, who has a mamish, a hatred for Yiddishkeit, and is actively involved in Oikir Yiddishkeit, and sitting down and learning with him, Shor, Shenoga Chesapara, and promising not to talk one word of politics, one word about anything other than what it says in the Gemara? How does it happen that there have been literally thousands and thousands of people that have become religious through this technique? It's a miracle. Now, it doesn't work for everyone, but in Eretz Yisrael, this technique, it's mind-boggling how it works. This is what they do in Lev Lach. Things have changed a lot, but that's they used
to,
also, but not as much. was American. It's sort of an aggressive, it used to be Lev Lach, used to be called Yad Lach. Yad Lach now is a different organization.
They split.
They deal with saving Jews from different thing there. But it used to be that's where they would go, and that's where they would take the shoe off them. And they would say, you can't listen to me. America, you get arrested, you go to jail, you do this. You knock on someone's door, and you say hello, and they look at you, in a neighborhood that's mamish, the chilonim, the hatred for the religious Jew, and a yeshivach shows up with the black suit, the black hat, holding the Gemara, open up the door, and he said, hello, I want to learn with you for half an hour the Talmud. Will you let me in to learn with you the Talmud? You do this in America, they call the police, you go to jail, you never come out. In Israel, it's a different culture. It's a country of chutzpah. I want to learn with you. Amir Atzel Lameh. I want to learn with you. And after they curse each other for a few minutes, okay, fine. Come in. You come in, you sit down, you put the door on the table, and you promise not one word of politics. And you learn Shar Shenavah Hasapar. For half an hour, which turns into an hour. And then you ask, should I come back next week? Yeah, come back. I like this. This is fun. It's magic. The Kiddush of Torah has a koyach that's not understandable. They had to stop this. You know why they had to stop this? Because they used to go to people's houses, the yeshivach would go to people's houses, would come in, and the wife and the children were not dressed seriously. They weren't, no, you know, in Israel, not the chilonim, they're half-dressed. So the Rashivas may found out, when the Rashivas found out, when they were sending the boys to these people's houses to knock on their door and to force themselves in and to sit down and learn the Gemara, and then they found out that the Noshim in these homes were not exactly dressed 100%, so they told them, tell them the people you don't learn in their house, you should bring them to a shul. It's not the same. When you tell them to come to the shul, it doesn't work so well. It doesn't work so well. It became a problem. It became and also probably society changed, say Israel became more like America today. Today you just can't knock on someone's door anymore and force your way in. This worked 30 years ago. Try to do that today. It's not so simple. They're going to let you into the house no matter what. You're going to blow up their house.
I had the 60s.
What?
I was a kid basically, but I was over 20. I came in Flatbush here to teach a mitzvahness early Sunday morning. They knocked on the door, and the wife answered the door in her underwear and said, oh, good morning. Come in, Rabbi.
Ay, ay. Okay, so this doesn't work. This doesn't work today. Okay, but this is there's a koyach, and that's exactly what Kabbalah is saying. Now Kabbalah is going to say, Tamul uruki toif. Take a person that is completely secular, knows from nothing, and just tell them to taste it. Taste it. Let's talk about learning. That's another technique. It's a different technique. You're saying that there's a technique of birthright, and that works a lot of people. You go, you sponsor a ticket to take a child to Eretz Yisrael in after college. Thousands of people came from this. You go and after college, before they go out to work, you go for a year to Israel, go for 6 months, match. Nothing intellectual. You go to Eretz, you show, you see the land, it's magic. It works for some people. But Kalman is saying something very different, and that is Shabbos across America or a Shabbos project. The Shabbos project, they have a Shabbos project is you have there's someone in the neighborhood that you know is Jewish, it's so not religious, invite him to your Shabbos table. That's it. Nothing intellectual. Zero. Don't open up a Gemara. Nothing. Just let him come and sit down for a Shabbos Seuda, make Kiddush, family, bench. That's also magic.
That's a newer approach.
Different strokes for different folks. Exactly. Different people respond to different things. And then there is another approach which has been phenomenally successful. You need the right person to do it. You know, not everyone is intellectually in depth to do this. You know, you need the right, but for many people, it's an incredibly powerful experience of what it says here. Ta'amu, an intellectual experience.
It's all included in this work. common. It's all
Tam. Uru
ki toif.
Have an experience. It does a lot. Look, we used to be in Chaim Berlin, they used to do this. Then now it's a different world, but remember, we used to have a lot of these programs where they would bring boys that were not religious into the yeshiva. We had to do this. It was part of the routine. Once a week, twice a week, Sinai Academy, Ratzad, they would bring boys from high schools. That basically, they were really very, they came from homes that were completely irreligious. And they would bring them into the Beis Medrash, Namish, in the Beis Medrash, they would bust them in, and everyone was given a chavrusa, one of these boys, and you learn with them like very basic things. You learn with them to mamish be mekayim this tamu or uki tov. Mixed results. They didn't work for everyone because not every boy, you need a certain dynamic for it to work, and it's built upon this principle. In order to make people religious, there are some people that take to this when they see the intellectual element of Torah. It is a spiritual experience which awakens them, and they become religious. Let's read the Rashi over here. Yiru heyu yirem l'shem tzivui. Yiru is a command. Yiru es Hashem kidoshav. L'shem tzivui, command. Rashu, the kifirma Rashu l'shem dalus, poor. Poor. Rosh means poor. Kol toiv, but the tzadikim, the Yireim, they're not lacking. Kol toiv. Nun. Now, what is this over here? Rashi, remember, kol, what does this mean over here? Kemo kol melach, what's over here in old French? Any good.
Okay. Means good. Nien means puppy.
No, that's Rien.
Call toiv. Now let's see what it says in the Sif say Zikanim. Ois base, call toiv, uperish rashi zalkimo, call malacha. It means like call, what do you mean call malacha? What does it mean? What do you mean call malacha? The kashla rashi, the mashmois akrosh, shakol toiv loyatsru. They're not lack. What does it mean, the mashmais of the pasuk, that they're not lacking?
I'm just saying, instead of all, it means any.
Any. Avol ma'at toiv minat toivos yaksu. If you want to translate the words literally, the pasuk says, they're not lo yaksu kol tov. They're not lacking, the symbol meaning is everything. But they're lacking something. Okay, the mashmois is one more time. The mashmois akrosh kol toiv, all of good lo yachseru, avol ma'atov minatovos yachseru. If there's a way to translate these words, which will indicate that a person that's a yerei shemayim, he'll have something. Kol toiv means you will have something, but you're not going to have everything. It's an expression. Kol lo yachsuru, you will not be missing everything, but you will be missing something. If you're not going to learn Torah, you're not going to be Yorei Shemayim, then you'll have nothing. If you'll be Yorei Shemayim, then you'll have something, but not everything. Lo yachsuru, you will not be lacking everything. If you don't know yourself and you can't explain it, but he's saying over here that the expression kol tov can possibly mean in the context that the Yirei Hashem, the lo yachshu kol tov, they're not going to, they'll have something, but they're not necessarily going to have everything. If you're not going to be Yorei Shemayim, you can have zero. If you're going to be Yorei Shemayim, you're not going to be lacking. You're not going to be missing out on everything, but you might be missing out on some little things here and there. So is that really the pshat? Is that what the pasuk is trying to tell you over here? It is telling you that no, at least you'll have a lot, but don't expect to have everything. Maybe that's talk of the pshat. You shouldn't have unrealistic expectations in this world. No one has everything. Is it really realistic to say that a person, a Yorei Shemayim, has everything? It's not realistic. No one in this world has everything.
Not material.
No one in this world. In the spiritual, no one has everything. So
I saw the Nayach Seru, Abraham Avinu said about Sdom.
Yeah.
Nayach Seru Hamishim HaTzadikim.
Ula.
Yeah. What does it mean? So I saw it in Farshim. Nayach Seru is not the number, but maybe the Hamishim Tzadikim, they will not be so Tzadikim, because they're not Tzadikim in Sdom. But you have to be a Chisaron by any side.
Even within the tzaddikim, even within the tzaddikim, there's not 100%. There's I'm not asking you there should be 50 tzaddikim. 50 decent people. Of course, even the decent people, they're not 100%. That's what you're saying, right? You're saying is that there's Hashem, don't be makbid that you have to find 50 tzaddikim from Mamash Gan Eden. You know, 50 people that are basically, the tax return is okay. It's not 100%, you know, not 100%, but you know, it's okay.
They don't kill.
The IRS, it's not worth the effort for them to go chase after them for $5. Okay, it doesn't mean that the tax return is 100%, it means it's good enough.
In the world called Tov, so we said that in Kategomer, you should malchat Tov, with malchat all Tov Sarah.
All good. Okay, let's finish what he explains. It's not true. How do you know it's not true? Because he said in the beginning of the Mizmor that a tzaddik, a Yerush Shemayim, is lacking nothing. No. In this context, the word kol, even though sometimes this expression of kol can mean you can make a diuk, you will have something, but not everything. In this context, that's not what it means. Here, the word kol indeed means everything, just like we find by Shabbos, le'saseg kol melacha. There, when it says kol melacha by Shabbos, the understanding is nothing. You're not allowed to do any labor whatsoever. There is no exception. Here too, when it says, lo yachshu chol tov, it means you're going to be lacking zero. Ha'omar ha'etzel Shabbos, the chasam afilu al achas chayef, im kein tefarish chacham milas kol, kmo chasam, the kal lehavim. They have also appreciated, there are two different types of kol. There's a kol with a cholom, and a kol with a komatz. See, people, I go get that complaint with somebody when you lane. Once they lane, and they said it was the chazak, le'enei chol Yisrael, or there's another pasuk, L'chol ma'aseihem. L'chol ma'aseihem. So, is it a cholm or a komatz?
Does it have the trumpet?
So, what does it say? So I once lain chazak. So, I said, no, dramatic. L'chol ma'aseihem, right? So, the guy comes over to me now and he says, you know, I wanted to really to correct you, but since it was chazak, it would be such a. You said it wrong. I don't even know what it says. It says, it doesn't say, I don't remember, does it say chol with a komatz or chol with a cholam? There are two chols. There's chof lamid, either there's a dat on top of the chof, which is cholam, or there's a komatz. And you're supposed to pronounce chol with a komatz different than how you pronounce it with a cholam. There are two different words. Okay, now I don't know the difference. I don't remember the difference. But they're not the same. So my question to you over here is over here where it says lo yachshu chol tov. Here chol tov is with a komatz. Chol tov. When he quotes the pasuk kol melacha, it's also kol melacha with a komatz,
right,
not with a cholom. Is there a difference in the is obviously there is a difference. I remember Orlean once explained this to me. The difference between these two words, the word chol with a komatz and chol with a cholom, is a very deep explanation, and they mean different things, and perhaps that is part of the look over here, mincha shai. See, I got exactly the point. Look at the mincha shai. It's more than smichos. There's something else besides the smichos. See that? Look at mincha shai. Pasuk gidalf chol tov becholom. That's not what it says over here in our text. Okay, the Mincha Shai, he is the Mumche. He is the guardian of the Mesorah. And he says here, the way Chol is Becholom. Gam loy nimda ba Mesores im oisam shehem bishurok. there, it's not lacking of those that are bishurok is shame. I don't know what he means by that. Shurok is chul shurok. Different language.
Right.
Kamas katan is it's not. Okay, so I'm not sure what he means with that. But one thing he does say, he says that it's not chol, it's chol. I can't differentiate in the pronunciation, even though you should be able to do so. It's not so complicated. But he says here ba chol lam. That's not what it says in our text. That's not the way our school presented it, and that's not even the way they put it over here in the Minchas Shayin in the Dibur HaMaskil. He says the correct pronunciation, the correct vowelization is with a cholam, chol tov, not chol. I can't differentiate. Chol. Yeah. Okay. When it's a komatz, it's a komatz.
When you say kol tov, it's a svichut. That's why it is komatz katan.
But there's no komatz.
Svichut is called a komatz katan.
This is a komatz gadol. It's not a komatz katan.
The komatz katan.
No, it's gadol. Mm-hmm. Over here. This is a regular kamat. The kamat is only when it's next to a shiva, and it's unique. It's a unique type of situation. I don't know. This is over my head. This stuff is over my head. But obviously, what the Sifsei Zakenin is coming to address, obviously, is related to the Mesorah. We have here a word, and the word is that the Darshe Hashem lo yakshu. Chol toif. Here, there is a komatz, and it is connected with a makof to the word toif. And Rashi is disturbed. How do you know Rashi is disturbed? Because Rashi has to comment, and Rashi has to reject what we would think it really means, and tell us it's like the word kol melacha. To tell us that over here it means they're going to be lacking nothing. Because if not for Rashi's comment, we would assume it means they're people of the Darshei Hashem, they're not going to be lacking everything, but they will be lacking something. Why would you think that? Why would you think that when it says in Bereishis, kol melacha, and there it means everything? Obviously, there are two different types, two different words. There's a word called kol with a komatz, the way we have it presented here in this text, and the Minchas Shai says, he has another Mesorah. The word chol is not the way, the vowel is incorrect. He learns it should be with a cholam. Does that change the word from the smichus form to an independent word? Possibly, yes. And that obviously is going to have a difference in the flavor of what this pasuk exactly means to say. Look, you have to be realistic. Darshei Hashem, is it really true in the world of reality that the Darshei Hashem are lacking nothing? Pukhazi, ma'amad, pukhazi. Darshe Hashem, many of the Darshe Hashem have nothing. They have mamish, have nothing. They're destitute.
They are happy with what they have. Oh. I have everything.
Is that what the pasuk means? Yeah, is that not? What the pasuk means?
Why not?
Maybe, but in the eyes of others, does every tzaddik have children? Does every tzaddik have a parnasa? Does every tzaddik have Torah knowledge to the degree that he wants? Who in this world has everything?
It's together.
Okay. I'm not qualified. I don't know. I'm not qualified to understand this, but these are the variables. The variables are, there's a potential to translate these words to mean that a person, the Darish Hashem, is not going to be lacking everything. But, be realistic, he will be lacking some things in this world. Better than being not a Darish Hashem, because someone that's not a Darish Hashem has nothing. Nothing. If you're a Darish Hashem, you'll have something. Everything? Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat, no, a person, the Darish Hashem, has everything. That is a dilemma. Obviously, the Sifsei Zakenin is struggling with this. Rashi is making a comment, comparing it to Lesase Kol Malach. And then we have the Mincha Shai that's telling us you should be aware. There are two types of chol. There's a chol chof lam that has a komatz, and there's a chof lam that has a cholam. These are the variables, these are the issues. How they all interact, I don't know. That's over my head. But at least to appreciate what we have here in front of us. All right, let's take a break.